Spacey is a global co-working and conference community. We've had our fingers on the pulse of co-working since 2012, and we've connected thousands of operators, both in person and online. On the Juicy Podcast, we talk with the people making it happen day in and day out. Let's get to it. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Juicy Podcast. We are up early this morning, just so you know, because Danielle Knoll, who is the co-founder and CEO of Apartment Coworking, is so busy. She's always on a plane. So thank you so much for getting up early, Danielle. And my first question for you is, how are you as a human? I don't want to hear about your work yet. I want to hear about you.
Oh, that is such a good question. It's very early in the morning and I'm not highly caffeinated, so I'm not even sure how to answer how I am as a human.
But how's your heart?
My heart is good. So I'll give you a little bit of background. I am from New Orleans originally. I live in Salt Lake City. I am married with three beautiful kids and they keep me running just as much as work keeps me running. And we are, always looking for something fun and exciting to do to keep them happy and growing and turning them into good humans.
I love it. I was just saying to Danielle the other day, y'all, how I was so impressed that she was able to grow a business and children, because I could only grow a business. The children thing was too much. So bravo, my friend.
Thank you.
So you guys, I really love what Danielle is building. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how Apartment Coworking got started and where you're at today.
Yeah. And I'm going to do one slight name correction, if that's okay. So it's going to be Apt Cowork, APT.
Okay, yeah.
It is short. A lot of people do call it Apartment Coworking. It is, can be considered that. But when we named it, we actually went through 1,000 names, as I'm sure most business owners do, mm-hmm. My co-founder and I. And we, after, I would almost venture to say a million, we came up with Apt in short for apartment, but also like apropos of the time, because co-working was really taking off, right? It was during COVID when we came up with the idea and started to open up our location.
Totally understand. Yeah. I actually think I'm glad you guys spent a ton of time on your name, because a lot of people don't. And then they pick something with like hub in it, and there's already like 15 brands with hub in it or co something. So I'm like, did you even Google that? So I love it with full strength name on there, man, because it's
My gosh. It is. We did so much Googling and GoDaddy, domain searches and SEO searches as well, to try and just make sure that it was something that, people are going to search for, that kind of fits with the brand that we're going for and kind of what we're doing with our location.
Yeah. And I love that you call it app and not multifamily, because I literally have been laughing about the term multifamily for years, because it just like, I'm like, when did that happen? When did apartments become multifamily? And is that really the right term? Like, I think it's just a bizarre term that really caught on.
That's funny. So I started off in student housing. And when I switched over to what I would call conventional, it's the first time I really heard the multifamily term. It's obviously, for the sector, been around forever and a day. They really tried to, I think, sector it from, student or senior, and they didn't want to call it conventional.
That's funny. Okay, so here's the deal, y'all. You've all walked into a multifamily / apartment / hotel who has a soulless like business center or lobby. And it's funny because I really looked at, before I started my brand in 2010, I remember in 2009 going to look at some retail adjacent to a building here called the Monarch. And I went through the Monarch, which had this expansive, massive lobby space. It was all built out, had the Keurig, had the printer, had all the things that these lobbies have, and literally not one single human in it. And I was back then thinking, like, why don't they turn these into co-working spaces? And then fast forward until it takes, over 10 years later, somebody finally cracks the code, and that somebody is you and your founder.
Yes, that's such a great summary. And that's exactly what it is. So my co-founder and I are both from the apartment industry. We've spent a lot of time in different sectors of it, managing apartments. And we were trying to figure out, what do you do with these leasing offices? Owners spend hundreds of thousands of dollars making them beautiful, if not millions, right? Depending on where you live or how high end they're. And you're right. They have so much real estate and there is no one in them majority of the time, right? People walk in to lease an apartment and they might come in again at move-in day and then they'll come in at move-out day. And especially, you know, so much of the world has gone paperless, even pre-COVID. But then COVID really did kick it up for the industry and make them even more so. Mm-hmm. And so that if everything became contactless and touchless and interactionless. And so it's the perfect opportunity for us to come in and say, okay, how do we get people back into these leasing offices? How do we build a community? This is what's really important to us. How do we build a community in a place that already should already have somewhat of a built-in community, right? You already have people living there, but how do you connect them all? What can you do to bring them together? And we looked at a couple of different business ideas, and co-working is really what stuck for us. People need a place to work from. They don't necessarily want to drive, you know, 20, 30 minutes to a downtown location. And so we really said, okay, now how do we take this real estate and do it? And I think this is what's key, you know, try to do it without construction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's a huge differentiator. I mean, but you had to reconfigure them like furniture-wise, right?
Yeah, so we go in and we look at the space. We have a design team and we determine what fits the space. So no, if you look through our website, every single community looks and feels different because we go after the look and feel of that particular community. So when a community is being developed the first time, right, they have a designer, and one community, as an example in ours in Salt Lake City, has bright, vibrant blue. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to say tone that down, let's tone it down because the carpet is literally blue. We added in, you know, highlighter yellow and some other bright colors to really tone down the brightness of the blue. But then we kept in mind, okay, what furniture can we bring in that's going to complement that and not make it stand out even more? The flip side is literally like down the street, you can within walking distance of 5 minutes, it's another community, and that community is all wood toned. And so we said, okay, how do we bring in the wood tone? But then in this case, what colors can we bring in that will complement? They were wood tones in like a rust orange. Mm. What colors can we bring in that will complement that? And so we brought in a little bit of the rust into our space, but then we did more of a teal and black and wood.
Awesome. And then, you know, why do you think it is that those, I have what I think is the answer to this question, but I'm curious what you're going to say. How come those spaces were never activated before?
That's such a great question. Something that we do differently is we bring in non-residents into the space.
Mm.
And so we think that that definitely helps with the activation. But with that, we've had to build out, I know you and I have talked about like the software side of this and how hard it is.
Yeah.
But we've had to build out software that allows us to integrate with both the property management system and a background check system.
Mm.
And that bringing in those non-residents, bringing in people who you already have prospects that come into the space and maybe they love your space, but the apartment wasn't right for them. That doesn't mean they still can't be a part of the community in some way. And I think between the two, like that definitely helps to activate it. We also are hosting events in our spaces, which help to activate it. And then we're just connecting people, right? Mm-hmm. We have in one of our spaces, we have a guy that does AI and we have another guy that's a consultant and they come on separate days, but on one day when they were finally together, being able to make that connection to them individually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you touched on it, but my short and sweet answer to that is humans. It takes a human to activate the space. And before they just left them empty. Like usually the leasing person was off somewhere else behind a closed door. You need a human in there curating the space.
I love that. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And by the way, I heard recently that you should be looking for like your partner at TSA Pre because they've been background checked. So we can now expand that to you should look at TSA Pre or Apt Coworking because they've both been background checked.
That's still in my favorite line. I was in an airport this week and I told my co-founder that. I said, hey, by the way, I talked to Liz at GCUC. And I think it's the best line. I think I need to send it to my marketing team to add that to our tagline.
Yeah, I just think that's hilarious because guys, it's so awesome that they do background checks because you can feel really safe in this space. And like, what is the process to do a background check? I did it a long time ago at MySpace, and I think it was like $50 a person. It was literally like just like a website.
Yeah, so we have an integration with one of the credit background check companies. And if you go to our sign up page, you don't even have to leave our website. So when a member signs up, they'll choose their package and then they'll fill out just like you would in URLs, you know, name, address, date of birth, social security number. Mm-hmm. And it's an API that pushes directly there. And then our API continuously checks for their background check. Mm-hmm. Most of them come back instantly, but there are some cities and states that take several days because of manual searches or names. Like there's some intricacies.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, it's something that if we were any other co-work space in a retail space, we probably wouldn't do a background check, if I'm being honest. But because we're in residential spaces where all of these residents have background checks, it's important to us and important to the ownership groups that we work with that we do the background checks.
Yeah, love that. And so do the residents have to pay for the service or is it included?
It varies by ownership group. So one thing about, and I'll say property management as a whole, because studying multifamily, right? We could go into, like I said, student housing or senior housing. There's several different sectors. Every ownership group is different based off of their structure and based off of what they're allowed to do or not allowed to do. Mm-hmm. And so every time we go into a space, we could change up. It's not just a straight normal, I'd say like failed negotiation tactic on our end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And then how many different real estate groups have you guys worked with so far?
We've worked with quite a few real estate groups. I'd have to do some math.
I mean, just kind of like a round number. Like, is it 3 or is it 20?
Not 20. So remember, we're only in year 2. Right. But I appreciate that. I appreciate that you think that we could do 20 different groups. No, we've talked to probably about 10 different groups. We've been very selective in the groups that we've spoken to. Mm-hmm. It's not, and you kind of hit the nail on the head earlier. You can't just throw furniture into a space and call it co-work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are being a little bit more selective and choosy when we go out and talk to people.
I love that. I think you need to be. And then, so you guys, are you doing a management agreement with the property owners?
That goes back to every single one goes differently.
Oh, really?
So each ownership group really kind of dictates what they need or allowed to do. And every time we work with our legal and their legal to determine the best agreement structure.
And how many locations do you guys have now? I love that we're just going rapid fire.
I like the rapid fire. So we're at 17 locations right now. We're working on our next 2, one in St. Petersburg, Florida, and one in Nashville, Tennessee.
That's why I was so excited to do this podcast with you, Danielle, because I feel like you guys are this just like quiet, people don't know, but you guys are out there killing it.
Well, thank you. We actually, my co-founder and I talk about this a lot. We, in the beginning, we were, you know, been very quiet and just kind of working our way through. There's so much that you learn. And I know we talked about this for GCUC. There's so much that you learn as you go. But we have added nuances where we're doing and we're integrating and we're building software. We're building our team. So we have lots of little things. It's, you know, it's not one location that one person owns and manages, and you can kind of learn from that one and then grow 5 years later to the second. It has been super rapid for us, but with that, we've, you know, continuously learned and grown as we've gone.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to learn so much in that it's just 2 years. You opened during a pandemic and then you scale to that many spaces. Like, I feel like you must be taking a drink from a fire hose every single day.
Absolutely. There's lots of coffee involved.
And y'all, every time I call Danielle, she's like, I'm on a plane. Like, but great. Like, you're out there getting it done. And I think it's like, it's so smart. It's like past due. You know, there's a couple of things in co-working that I'm like, why hasn't somebody cracked the code on that yet? And this was absolutely one of them. And I love that you have.
And this one is a hard one, right? Like when you're going into a empty retail space, you can negotiate. Maybe you're negotiating with a broker. This one, I mean, it really is. It's a long sales cycle. And so there's so many nuances that you're dealing with when you're going through this. So I can understand why it's taken someone 10 years to get into apartment.
Yeah, and you guys came from that industry, so you understood it in a way different.
Yes.
Other people wouldn't.
Yes, and that's wholeheartedly what makes us different, right? When we are going and speaking to ownership groups, they can appreciate that we've been on the operation side and yeah. that when we are building stuff, like even we have a FAQ live doc that goes out to the property management on-site associate. So if they have a question, there's an internal document that they can look at to see that doesn't show on our website, that doesn't show somewhere else, and that we try to keep constantly updated for them with any new questions as well. Mm-hmm. But that's something that we would only have known that we needed because we have been on the operation side.
So you guys operate completely separate from the leasing component.
Correct. Yep. So we may be in the same exact space as them, mm-hmm. depending on the layout of the space. But the leasing agents are not our employees. They're still the property management employees. They may every now and then, right, if a prospect comes in and says, oh, what's apt co-work? They may say, depending on it, you get it free or you get a discount or something like that to try and sell them on living at the community.
Got it.
But we have QR codes that walk them in that tell them to check us out online. We have live support that our team will chat in and answer any questions. So that way the on-site associates aren't having to answer those kind of questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. And then have you been able to put all of these locations into one network? So if somebody travels, they can just pop into another apt co-working?
Yes. I love that you asked that question. So we have what's called our elite membership.
Oh.
And it will give them access to all of the locations across the country. With our app, they can see each location, the hours. If it's a smart lock, they'll be able to get in through the smart lock, like without even needing to talk to us.
Ooh, who's locked?
We use Salto.
Excellent. They are a juicy sponsor.
Ah, yes, we love them. So one of the things that we learned, my co-founder and I have shopped a lot of co-working across the country, mm-hmm. and we would ask people, okay, well, if we're in Dallas today and I'm in Salt Lake City tomorrow, how do I get from one to the other? And it's not like a very broken process of, you know, mm-hmm. call me and I'll call that manager and we'll figure out if they have space. And so our whole goal is to make it very easy and user-friendly for our coworkers mm-hmm. to be able to get into this space, print if they need to print, and really just work for the day without interference from us if they don't want it. If they want to talk to us, great. But if they don't want to and they just want to set up and go, they can.
I love that.
Juicy is headed to Salt Lake City. Join us in Utah on April 9th or 11th for Juicy North America. We'll have a 3-day program where the mountains meet the city and co-working is just around the corner. We invite you to join our community for a real-time co-working and hospitality experience, Juicy style. In addition to the conference, we'll have a mix of work and play activations for you and your team to take advantage of. Whether you're up for outdoor thrills, exploring the art scene, or digging into local cuisine, we've got you covered. We chose Salt Lake because it's such a cool place with warm vibe, and we're ready to welcome you. For more information about Juicy North America, head to na.gcuc.co. Speakers and more to come. See you soon.
I talked a lot about how post-pandemic, you had to remove the barriers to entry. That like anything that takes time, wastes time, holds people back is just a point of frustration. You know, if you can't find the space, that's annoying. If you can't get in the door, that's annoying. If you can't get on the Wi-Fi, that's annoying. If you can't book a meeting room, that's annoying. Like, so anything that helps remove those barriers to entry, you need to invest in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting, Danielle and I talked about this before. I am anti creating your own software. I might give Danielle a pass because it makes a lot of sense because you had to integrate with property management. Mm-hmm. But I think in this case, because you're so niche, it might make sense. It's just I've heard so many operators over the years sink, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, into apps only to abandon them at some point because it just became too expensive to maintain the software. And I'm a big fan of you're in the co-working business, not the software business. But like I said, I think this case might be the exception.
Right. And I wouldn't encourage it otherwise. And when I was in the property management side, I helped to manage the software that we use. And so I understand a lot of like the technical pieces. And I think that's what helps us on our end, is because then we're able to have the conversations with our developer. And there's things that we want to build, right? But we wait to build because we're not going to sink the cost into it. And I think that's the other side, is someone who's maybe not a technical may say, oh, I want all these things, not realize the cost associated with it. And does that cost have a true added benefit? Are you going to make the money back from that? And we have conversations like that all the time. We may come up with a big grand idea and then get the cost for development. And then we'll run some tests and see, and some pilots, and talk to our coworkers and see if it's worth it, and then make a decision. But the integrations for the property management system and some screening system, and even for Salto, like all of those were really important to us, that they work a certain way and that we can have that frictionless environment. Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't have what we have without building our software. Okay. But I wouldn't encourage it otherwise.
Excellent. Okay. So I have a hypothesis, and I'm curious if you're tracking the notes, and if you're not, please do. I think that if apartment complex offers a apartment co-working, that people are going to stay longer because they don't have to work from their home. They have an alternative that's really easy and convenient. So I think it's going to really increase the stickiness factor of the leasing. Have you guys been tracking that?
So it's very hard to track any kind of data like that. We definitely have stories, we'll go with that, from our coworkers in the spaces that tell us they've renewed because of having apt co-work in the space.
Yeah.
That they were receiving such a large rental increase that they found that apt co-work, like maybe they'd actually, we have a few that they'd actually given notice to the community. And then we installed apt co-work. And they came back and told us and the management company, hey, I was going to leave. I want to cancel my notice because we now have this space. And if I'm going to go co-work, it's going to cost me way more money, right, than what my renewal increase is. So we've had those stories, but the tracking side of it's hard to do.
Yeah.
To pin down, like, it's the one thing, right?
Right.
But we definitely know, we're starting to do some case studies of different market data to see what our communities with apt co-work bring in compared to the market. And again, we'll never be able to say it's all apt co-work, right? Mm-hmm. If the operations team is amazing or the management has like the best customer service, there's definitely going to be pieces of it, but mm-hmm. apt co-work will have a play in it.
Okay. And then my other question is, it seems like you guys are, you know, you're not trying to be regional. It looks like you're trying to be national right off the bat.
Yes.
Okay. So do you have some funding supporting a national expansion, or are you looking for that?
We are funded, but our goal is to be national and for people to be able to hop from apt co-work to apt co-work. Mm-hmm. As you know, I mean, you've heard it the last 2 weeks since we've talked, I travel and I'm in hotels continuously. And I would love to have an app to work everywhere I go. So that way I'm not having to work from hotels. Hotel internet tends to be super slow. And right, drop on Zoom calls, your background gets blurry. But my goal is to have an app to work everywhere we go.
I love that. I love that. It's a lot of people start out and say, I'm going to be national. Few people get as far as you have, and especially not in 2 years. So bravo.
Thank you.
I love it. And y'all, that's why we have Danielle doing a roundtable at Juicy, because she has learned so much in these 2 years about scaling and process. And so definitely while you're at Juicy, you want to sign up for Danielle's roundtable, because she's going to be sharing some of her key learnings with us and the lucky 10 or 20 people who get to talk to her that day.
I'm very excited to be there. I know when we were talking the other day about things that we've learned, I constantly have been thinking about it for the last 2 weeks, because as with any business, you learn so much. But I also, exactly what you're saying, I mean, as you're going national, as you're trying to take on building software, which again, we're not even going to talk about. we can talk about why not to do it. But right, there are so many pieces that, you know, over the last 2 years, we've, from legal to accounting to IT, I mean, just so much happens on a day-to-day that we've learned and figured out.
Yeah. And also you mentioned something about events. Haven't you guys like systematized events recently?
Yeah. So we started with one market. We have four locations in Dallas, and we started with really one location and doing weekly events there. And now we're taking those same events and we're doing them in Salt Lake City. And for the most part, we're going to try and keep the exact same event on the exact same day when we can. So last night, as an example, we had a networking night. And then Dallas, we had a speaker come out and he did role playing and like a kind of like a training on like how to do it, how to be at a networking event. In Salt Lake, we hadn't found that person, so we just kept it to an open networking event. But we're going to try and keep that. And we've gotten it really down to a science in terms of like a checklist and a process of all the pieces that we do to make sure the events are successful.
Love it. Love it. Okay, so our time went so fast, but I want to leave a couple of minutes for you to answer the last question because I think you're going to have a lot to say about it. And the last question is, where were you living when you were 12 years old?
Oh, I was living in a town between New Orleans and Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's called La Place. Say that one more time.
What was the name of it?
La Place, L-A-P-L-A-C-E, Louisiana.
Okay. And so you're 12 years old, you're in La Place, Louisiana, and you can go back and you can tell 12-year-old Danielle just one thing to help her in the future. And what is that thing?
Oh my gosh, what would I tell my 12-year-old self? Let me. I knew you were going to ask that because I've listened to so many of your podcasts and you have such thoughtful questions at the end. So I knew you were going to have a thoughtful question. I just didn't know quite which one it would be.
I know. I like to switch it up to keep people on their toes.
I think I would tell. So the world is a big place and there's so much to see and do and so many great people that you can meet along the way. My town is a smaller town. But it's between two big cities, right? But a lot of people from Louisiana stay in Louisiana. They don't necessarily move from Louisiana. I've been very blessed being from the property management sector to meet great people, to be able to move with my job, and to see and learn so much because of that and because of the industry that I did work in. Oh, so probably that it is okay to move away from friends and family, and it's great. And that you can learn so much from everyone that you interact with, whether it's someone on the plane or from the people that you work with. Mm-hmm. There's so much to learn and see. The other thing, and something that I've learned a lot that my co-founder and I do, is observe. Right? Mm-hmm. Observe everything that you're everywhere that you go, just watch and pay attention. We change everything in our business from us observing from a customer standpoint. We don't look, and this is one thing that my co-founder has really instilled in me is what does a customer want? What does a customer need? Not what does Danielle want, right? Not mm-hmm. what does my co-founder want, but truly like everything that you're doing, you should look at and like, yes, hopefully you're doing stuff that can make it easy. You're systemizing your businesses. But if you're making it harder for your customers, and again, I know you talked about the barriers earlier, but if you're putting barriers in place, you're only going to stop people from joining business with you and then potentially sharing a negative review, giving bad experiences. Mm-hmm. But if you can sit there and observe, and I mean, every co-work space that we walk into, whether it's our own or competitors, we just watch what's happening around us and how can we make it better? How can we solve for it? Are there problems that we don't know that exist because we aren't in the space, right? If we open at 8 a.m., we try to get there at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I go and watch from 7 to 8. Do people come to the door? Is it locked? Are we missing something on our signage outside? Really just observing everything, hearing, listening, seeing, and also observing online. It's the same thing when we're looking at apt co-work in Dallas. Are we popping up where we expect to be? Do we pop up anywhere that we were unaware of? Does our online presence match our physical presence?
I love that. There's so much to unpack there. I mean, first and foremost, everything you just described is hospitality. That is the thing. It's like we are not in the real estate business. We are in the hospitality business. And I love the observation piece. I'm shocked how many people apparently open their co-working space in a vacuum. Like before I opened my space, it was back in 2009 that I was doing all the research. And there were like literally there was one co-work. There were like two little co-working spaces in Austin. There was one in Houston. There was one in New Orleans. There was one in LA. And there were a couple in New York. So I went to all of them. And I still love going to new co-working spaces. And I'm like, if you haven't visited the co-working spaces in your own town before you open, what are you even doing? Like, why aren't you out there investigating what's out there and learning from them? And I'm really excited for you to come to Juicy, because one of the things about Juicy that I think is unique in our industry, and one of the reasons I continue to invest in the co-working ecosystem, is because we know there's enough business for everybody. So we share everything with each other. We lift each other up. We help each other out. You can ask anybody at Juicy for like, hey, what do you do this? And how do you handle that? And they will just happily tell you, because we've created this environment where it's collaboration, not competition. And that goes from Wayne Berger at IWG all the way down to the person that's going to open one location in Boise, Idaho, because we can all learn from each other and we can all grow together, because we are on a rocket ship to next level when it comes to co-working.
I agree with that 1,000%. I think, you know, we talk about community within the co-work spaces, but finding community outside too, right? Of peers that are in co-working that understand what you're doing. It is different market, a different business, that there are some people that when you say, I open co-work spaces, that give you a look of like, what's co-working? What does that mean? And so to find that community of people, you know, that work in the same industry that you can bounce ideas off of and talk to and talk through. Whenever we were opening up a location in Frisco, Texas, and one of the residents of the apartment community walked in and we're doing an event, and I start talking to him and he said, oh, I run a co-work space too. And I said, oh my gosh, that's great. Tell me about it. And he said, well, we are all offices. He's like, we're really not co-working. Like, we really are primarily offices. And we have like a little space for, you know, open co-work space. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know, I would love to, A, pick your brain, but B, if you get people who that doesn't fit their need, like, I'm going to get people that need offices. And we primarily don't have offices because we're going into apartment communities, right? Mm-hmm. And we're not doing construction. And so I said, can we go ahead and trade off? Can I send you office people and you send me co-work people? And he loved that. He's like, yeah, I'd love to do that, because a lot of times I just can't serve them and I feel so bad for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Partner up with your local communities and help each other out. That's what it's all about. I am so excited that a good portion of the world is going to find out about apartment co-working by listening to the Juicy podcast, because I think you guys are just absolutely someone to watch. And Danielle, if people are like, oh my gosh, I need to get in touch with them, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, so our website is aptcowork.com, aktcowork.com. And we have live chat. If you want to talk to a human, you're welcome to, and my team can get you in touch. There's a contact us page. If you want to look me up on LinkedIn personally, linkedin.com/Danielle Knoll, and you'll see our background is like a cityscape background that shows off some of our locations.
Or you could just come to Juicy and she'll be there.
Yes. And I think I have a bio page on the Juicy website.
You do. So I cannot wait to meet you in real life. And thank you so much for your time and for sharing your story with us.
Of course. Thank you so much for having us. I'm so excited to be at Juicy. This will be our first one that we've been able to come to, because we've been so crazy busy, but we're so happy to have you in Salt Lake.
Yay. Okay, guys. We will see Danielle and the rest of y'all in Salt Lake City next month. Thank you for tuning into the Juicy podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to like and follow us for more Juicy content. You can stay connected with us on social media by following us at Juicy Global. We're looking forward to having you join us next time for more insightful discussions. Until then, keep exploring the co-working world with the Juicy podcast. Ciao.